John chapter 9 this morning, John chapter 9. If you will turn there, go ahead and stand once you find your place. John chapter 9. No prayer for me this morning. I'm nervous. I haven't been this burdened about a message in a long time. I don't know why. It's not that special. That's what makes me nervous about it. And if I make a mess of it, it's me, and I do apologize, but I'm trying to preach the Lord gave me. I'm trying to share with you today. John chapter 9, verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man was blind, which was blind from his birth. Verse 24. Then again called the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise, but know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You can be seated. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you for giving us health to be here and blessings allowing us to be here. Lord, I pray you help me this morning, give me words to say. Lord, you know what I need to say and know what I don't need to say. Lord, I pray you guard my lips and guard my mind and my thoughts. Lord, I pray you use us today. Lord, I pray any lost should get saved for us too late. In Jesus' name, amen. I've had this passage on my mind for the past couple of days. Now I can't get it off of my mind. The devil's been fighting me over it over and over again, trying to confuse me. I haven't had that hard of a time studying for a message in a long time. It's not going to make any sense. It's a very simple message. It doesn't make sense that he would fight me that hard on this, what I'm trying to say here. I was in here 4 hours this morning trying to get my thoughts together and everything. I've studied yesterday as well. Just been fighting me over it. And I'm burdened about it. But I believe it's what the Lord would have me preach today. So if you would listen to me just for a few minutes, it's not going to be complicated. It's not going to be long. Very simple thought. But I believe the Lord would have us to preach it today. And this verse 25 is when it sticks out to me. What drew me first to this passage again. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. I'm not the smartest preacher there is. I'm no Bible scholar. By the way, I don't believe anybody is a Bible scholar. They claim to be. They're lying. We are a bunch of Bible students. Nobody's completely learned on anything in the Bible. We are all learning every time we read it. No Bible scholars, only Bible students. But anyway, I'm no expert. I want to be. I have a lot to learn. I'm by far no expert. But one thing I do know is once I was blind, now I see. I may not have all the right answers all the time. I may not know the right politically correct things to say, and I don't plan on trying to learn those either, by the way. I struggle with the business side of things in church. We had that last business meeting. I realized afterwards I kept forgetting to ask for a second on the votes, and I'm no expert on these things. But there's one thing I know for 100% sure. Once I was blind, now I see. Jesus changed my life. If he can change my life, I'm sure he can change yours as well. If God can save me, knowing how terrible of a person I am, he can save you too. I don't know who this is for this morning. I'm not trying to aim this at anybody this morning. I asked the Lord this morning, came in and see who's here. And Lord, are you sure this is the right message supposed to preach? And the Lord's always sure about everything. I don't have to ask those things. He knew he would be here when I studied yesterday. But I pray the Lord help you this morning. Lord, can you help me here? I pray the Lord can help you. Sorry. In the middle of all that praying yesterday and studying and praying, and it's like I just stuck this passage in my head. One thing I know, where I was a blind now, I see. One day I was blind and lost and on my way to hell, and God saved my soul. Life may not always be easy. There's one thing I can always go to for comfort. Everyone, everything might not be easy, but there's one thing I know. I started to think about Elijah there by the brook, and Elijah in the cave. He thought he was the only prophet left. He thought he was the only one. God said, let the ravens feed him. The ravens that don't feed, they take, only take. God used them. God used a widow woman to feed him. A widow woman didn't have anything. Couldn't even feed herself and her own son. He used her to feed him. One thing I know, God is enough to care for whatever problem I have. This one thing I know, if God can care for Elijah down by the brook, was running for his life, and he can fall out to the cave, and you patiently call him out of the cave. If God can do that, God can handle anything that comes our way. This one thing I know, if Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Paul said this in writing to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul, an educated man, well-educated, well-experienced in the ways of Judaism. He was an expert in Judaism, raised in that way. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. What was he saying? He said, I lay aside all my elegance to speak, all my experience to speak, all my fancy words and education in Judaism and the law. He said, I just want to know Jesus. I just want to preach Jesus. It's one thing I know is Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said this, know Christ in your sermon, sir. Go home and never preach again until you have something worth preaching. Lee Robinson said this, a witness is one who tells what he knows. We're to tell what Christ has done for us, what he can do for every person who will come to him by faith. That's one thing I know. This one thing I know is Jesus Christ crucified for me and you. Lord, so I can preach just a few minutes on this morning. This one thing I know, if you haven't gathered that yet. This story here with a blind man, I'm sure you've heard before. This man is passed by Jesus, his disciples. Verse 1, Jesus passes by. Disciples begin to ask questions about this blind man to Jesus. Jesus uses he spits in the dirt, makes mud, rubs it in the man's eyes, gives him sight. I'm sure you've heard this before. The Pharisees, they don't like it. They don't understand how Jesus performed miracles, for one, because they don't believe him to be God, yet he was performing miracles. He healed a man. It says in verse 16, there was division among them because he performed a miracle on the Sabbath. So he can't be God. Half of them said he can't be God. He performed a miracle on the Sabbath day. Others said, well, he has to be some sort of God. He performed a miracle. There's division among them. They're confused. You see their predicament. So they go ask the blind man. They go ask the blind man's parents. They say, yeah, that's our son. Yeah, he's been blind before. He's an adult. You go ask him. I'm just paraphrasing. You can read this passage later on. Verse 24, they go down to, they ask the blind man. They say, then again, called they the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. They say, give God the Father the praise. We know that Jesus, they're calling out Jesus. We know that he is a sinner. This is the Pharisee saying this. Blind man answered in verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, look, all I know is I was blind. I was begging on the street. And now I see. I used to be blind my entire life. And that's all I know is I can see now who he is. I don't quite know. What I do know, he made a difference in me. He healed me. I like this man here. Look at the next couple of verses. Verse 26. Then said they to him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? He said, look, I already told you. What are you asking me again for? Are you also going to follow him? You're going to be his disciple too? I like this guy. Look at the man's message, verse 28. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. Smote their chests. Say, oh, we've been his Moses' disciple for a long time now. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. You claim to be the church, you claim to know God, yet this man's healing me. You haven't done anything for me. Verse 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners. If any man be a worshiper of God, doeth him and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? He said, this has never happened before. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. And who are you to teach us what we know about the scriptures? Who are you to tell us what we know about God? He said, I don't know anything. I just know I was blind, and now I can see. It's a marvelous thing that you don't know who he is. He said, well, here's a marvelous thing. You don't know who he is, but yet he's the one performing the miracles. He goes on, this is not a man of God. He could do nothing. He said, this one thing, I know this man changed my life, changed me. And if he wasn't God, how else could he do it? This blind man is healed. And instantly begins to preach to his Pharisees on Jesus and what he can do. And in return, they cast him out. He said, I don't know how he did it. I don't know who he is altogether. This one thing I know, once I was blind, now I see. He goes out, and Jesus finds him, and then he says he believes on Jesus. You can read the rest of the passage there. But I want to preach on this one thought for just a few minutes. This one thing I know. Paul, again, I told you earlier, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ him crucified. I don't know a lot this morning, but I know one thing. I'm trying to share that with you this morning. Number one, the one thing I know is I was blind. Believe it or not, I used to be a blind man too, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:20, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was a blind man headed for hell until Jesus saved me. I was blinded by sin. You say, well, how did that happen? What are you talking about? Same way happened to this man. John 9:1, the verse we just read. As Jesus passed by, he saw the man which was blind from his birth. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was born into sin, born a sinner, and you were as well. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we have been born blind. We have been born sinners, born blind by sin. You are born blind too, whether you admit it or not, you were. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you are still blind today. He said, that's offensive, preacher. The gospel is meant to be offensive. It's meant to make you change your direction. I'm not here to pat you on the back this morning. If you're lost on your way to hell, I want you to know it. Don't go home saying that I told you you were okay. If you're lost this morning, you are lost and you are dying and you're on your way to hell. You say, that's offensive. I hope so. I'm not here to pat you on the back this morning. If you're not saved, I don't want you to feel comfortable right now. I want the Holy Ghost to be moving on your heart, convicting you and pulling you. This blind man didn't have very much to say. There's much more to explain. He just said, I was blind. Notice verse 1. The only thing they point out is that he was blind. But according to verse number 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? So not only is he a blind man, disciples didn't say, but their neighbors said, now he's a blind man, he's a blind beggar. Without God today, that's where I would be, bound by sin, bound to suffer, just sitting and begging and waiting on some. This man's entire life, up until now, has been blinded by sin, never known anything different, always been a beggar as far as we know here in the Scriptures. These Pharisees probably no doubt passed by before. They've seen this man before, no doubt, in the same town there. These Pharisees are arguing back and forth. They're having their theological dissertations on why Jesus can't be of God because he performed the miracle on the Sabbath day. This man, look, and this one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. We can have long discussions on that. We can debate it. We can argue till we're both blue in the face. The fact of the matter is, I was a sinner. I was blind, headed for hell. I was raised in a church my entire life. I've never not been in church. I thank God for that. I'm not bragging. I thank God for that. I can probably count on my hands the number of times I've missed being in church on Sunday morning. I was headed to hell just like everybody else was. I was saved as a young boy. I've never gone and done drugs. Never done those wrong things. Never smoked, never drank. You say, why are you saying all this, preacher? I'm saying this because despite all those good things I've done, despite being a moral person, I was headed for the same hell as a drunk murderer was. I was just as lost as anybody else was. This blind man was just as lost as anybody else was. You today are just as lost as blind was if you're not saved today. There's no difference between you and him, no difference between you and me. It's nothing in and of myself that I've done that made me see. It's all in him. He said, well, preacher, I've just done too much wrong. I've just gone too far. How far is too far for God? I've seen him save drug addicts and drunks and all sorts of sinners. How far is too far? Let me tell you, there is no distance too far for God. Is there any here this morning that would say, preacher, I'm blind. I don't know where I would go. I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. Some say, I don't know about that hell stuff, preacher. People don't like to talk about that. It's not comfortable. It's not supposed to be comfortable. I don't believe in it. Some people don't believe in that. Did you know that Jesus said more about the place called hell while he was on earth than he said about heaven? Matthew 10:28, just a couple instances, Jesus mentions the place called hell. It says in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. There's plenty more verses like those you can read this morning. Hell is a real place set aside for real people and for real demons and for a real Satan. This isn't some game. This isn't some scare tactic made up by the church. I'm here to warn you this morning of an everlasting place called hell, and I don't want you to go there. And if you're blind this morning, you can be healed. Is there anyone here this morning that is lost? I beg you to listen to me this morning. Just as blind as the blind man was, so was I. I have a feeling there's someone here this morning that's in the same boat as I was. I don't know why the Lord told me to preach this. I don't understand it, but I believe there must be somebody here that needs to hear this. You say, preacher, that's just not for me. Not right now. Maybe I'm young. I don't have fun. Or maybe I'm old and I'll just be too embarrassing. We're giving this message for a reason. Another message I wanted to preach, and I couldn't get away from this thought here. Is when I hear today, they'll say, preacher, that's me. I'm blind this morning. I may not be the best preacher. I admit that. Far from it. This one thing I know, I was blind. Are you blind today? Number two, pretty simple. I was blind. Number two, now I see. Verse 25, he answered, whether it be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that wherein I was blind, now I see. Jesus passed by that day. This man has never been the same since. He's blind, now he can see. He's blind from birth. Never seen anything before. He spent his adult life begging on the street. Jesus passed by him, decided to stop and change his man's life for forever. Notice how he did it. Verse number 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made the clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and come seeing. Let me ask you something. Was it the water in the pool of Siloam that made the man see? Or was it what Jesus did that made the man see? Of course it was Jesus. And why did he make the man go wash in the pool? Why not just heal him on the spot? Why did he do that? I believe he was testing his obedience in this particular instance. Maybe it's a picture for us, something we can learn from. Jesus passed by, he made mud, rubbed in the man's eyes, and made him go wash it off. Washed off the sin. He washed it off. He came back seeing. There was a day, I was 11 years old, Jesus passed by my way. He convicted me and pulled me, and I fought all day long trying to get away from it. You say, preacher, I don't know about all that conviction stuff. I may not know a lot. This thing, one thing I know, I was blind and now I see, and I can tell you how it happened. I was blind by sin. Jesus came by, the Holy Spirit convicted. I fought all day long, literally fought, tried to get away from it. Later that night, I think it was 11 o'clock, I finally knelt down and asked the Lord to save me with my parents there in the living room. You say, what happened? I came back seeing. Knelt down a lost man, stood up to save man. Jesus washed me, pure snow, and I came up seeing. You say, what did you do, preacher? It wasn't me. I didn't do anything. Just had to repent. It's him that did the saving. It's one thing I know. I was blind now. See, I've never been the same since. There was a change in me that I've never gotten away from. Well, of course, I've sinned since then. I've messed up. I've tripped up over and over again. But once saved, always saved. This blind man, okay, maybe poor illustration here. This blind man, do you think he kept his eyes open for the rest of his life? I believe he probably blinked like everybody else does. Jay just blinked at me. I said that. I believe he probably closed his eyes and went to sleep. Maybe poor illustration. But I've messed up. I've slipped up. My eyes haven't always been open. I've done wrong. But I've never lost my salvation. I've never lost my vision. Now I see. You say, well, that's good for you. That's just not for me. Oh, but it is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All you have to do is believe. You tired of being blind? Is Lord calling you today? And just believe. I preached Wednesday night on that jailer over in Acts. He said, how can I be saved? I said, just believe. You want to be saved today? Just believe. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's died for you. He cares for you. He's not willing that any should perish. He's over there. I can't remember the passage. 1 Peter, I believe. He wants us all to be saved. Doesn't mean we all will. Some will die lost and on their way to hell. But the invitation is for all. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today is blind, can I encourage you? You don't have to leave that way. You don't have to leave this place blind. Please don't leave here blind and on your way to hell today. You can be saved. Number one, I was blind. Number two, now I see. Number three, now I go share. That's what this man did. Verse 8. Now the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some say this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. That was me. Immediately he's already at it. They say, is that him? Some say he's like him. He said, no, that was me. I was blind. That was me. But now I'm not. Once a blind man, now I came back seeing. The Pharisees going to question him over and over again. He gives them a long speech about how it's a marvelous thing the Pharisees don't know Jesus. He's immediately going and sharing what Jesus did for him. He's not apologetic about it. He's not ashamed of it. I think it's what our country needs. I think New Hope Baptist Church needs a glimpse of what we used to be. A glimpse of what we could be if it weren't for him. A glimpse of where we still would be if it weren't for him. If it weren't for God's grace, I don't know where I would be today. I'm thankful for God saving me. I don't know where I would be without him. But yet God saved me. I don't deserve it. If you'll get a fresh glimpse of where you used to be, it'll change how you see others. We get all high and mighty and we forget where God has brought us from. The blind man, he said, that was me. I am him. I was blind. Now see, it would do us good to remember where God has brought us from. And what he has guarded us from since that day. When's the last time you shared it with somebody else? When is the last time you told somebody you were once blind? Now you can see. I imagine this man told his story many times. How can you live blind your entire life, grow up, Lord give you your sight back? How could you not tell everybody you meet about that? I'm sure he cherished his eyesight. If he can do that with just earthly sight, how much more excited ought we to be with eternal life? But to be willing to stand and to share, not be ashamed of it. To be willing to stand in the face of the Pharisees and say, this one thing I know, wherein I was lost, now I'm saved, according to Jewish law. If he prophesied that anyone was God other than God the Father, Jehovah, that they believed, and they would be cast out. He knew the risk. They didn't believe Jesus was God. He professed Jesus to be God. He knew the risk. The Jews didn't believe that Jesus was God. This fellow said, he knew if he said he'd be cast out. Yet we see him standing and saying, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He said, he's God. He has to be. He said he has to be God. Are you willing to stand? Are you willing to share? All across our nation, thousands and thousands are falling. Why? Not because of some sickness alone, but they are falling because of the sin of our land. Sin and destruction and crime and so on and so forth because they are blind. Are you willing to stand? Are you willing to share? A very simple message today. I was blind, but now I see. I go share it. I may not know very much, but I can promise you today I was blind, and now I see. If the Lord can save me, He can save anybody.